Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
As we mentioned, Burnt State has posted over 2,500 messages in our forums. He'll continue doing it till he gets it right. No, he always gets it right. He's one of our most knowledgeable posters. So, Chris, you're going to ask Burnt State's question of Ben Zeller.
Well, yeah, he has a number of questions. And the first one is a good one. It involves, you know, people in ufology that did not come forward and condemn the Heaven's Gate cult. And he's wondering, what responsibility, if any, do you feel those who define themselves as ufologists should be taken for not speaking out against Heaven's Gate? And how should similar UFO cults be treated in general by the communities and the culture who believe in UFOs as a real phenomenon?
You know, I'll tell you, this is the most morally pressing question for me. As I mentioned earlier, I actually interviewed with and chatted with Ricotti, one of these ex-members who tried to commit suicide, failed, and then later did commit suicide. And I spoke to him, obviously, between those suicide attempts. And it was clear to me what was going to happen. It was clear that he believed that he was going to have to commit suicide. I actually asked him that, and he said, oh, he would left it up to the next level. But it was pretty clear to me. I didn't try to convince him not to, and I don't know if that was the right choice or not, but for me it came down to the fact that these were sane people. They were sane people who were making decisions which made sense to them. Do we agree with them? No. I disagree with suicide, and I think that the choices they made were wrong ones. I think that these were amazing individuals. I would have preferred they stay on this earth to contribute in some way, but ultimately, if this is their choice, I don't feel like it's our place to intrude. On the other hand, I recognize this is a real moral issue, and this is an ethical issue, and that there's different answers to this. And I think it ultimately depends on the particular ethical and moral guidelines that each person follows. And I want to respect freedom and freedom of conscience and freedom of choice. On the other hand, I also think that life is important, and that suicide is not the answer for healthy individuals such as this.
All right, you just opened up a quick question I'm going to ask.
I can't afford this is what I opened up.
Okay, you opened up a big one here, which is, what about assisted suicide to people who are really ill and continued existence? Continuing to stay alive would be supremely painful, and maybe they should just end it all. What do you think about that?
My personal view is that if that is their choice, that should be open to them. In terms of sort of the legalities of physician assisted, you know, can a physician take part in killing a patient? I don't think physicians should be involved in killing a patient. But if a patient asks for painkiller prescriptions and then chooses to overdose, and they're a person who is dying, then I don't think it's our place to interfere in the last wishes of another human being.
Well, that leads me to another question by Burnt State, and that has to do with Chuck Schrammick and the claim. You know, he was the amateur astronomer who claimed that there was a companion following Hale Bopp, and then later on Courtney Brown and Prudence Calabrese, said that they remote viewed that this was a ship. Now, it's interesting to note that ufology is filled with people making outrageous, at times outlandish claims. And if those claims are glommed onto by a group like Heaven's Gate and partially used as an excuse to off themselves, what are the moral obligations of ufologists, where people who are looking for publicity for their claims, do you think that they have a moral obligation to not make these claims, or to have at least some sort of caveat? Because the way Art Bell picked up on this, and Ed Dames and others, Courtney Brown, this seemed to be kind of that last little push that pushed these people over the edge. And do you think that the field of ufology has a responsibility to be extremely circumspect and careful about claims that they make?
I think they do. I think that the guiding principle here should be truth, should be that people should focus on trying to find the truth. and that when they present something which they think is the truth, any caveats that come with it should be offered as well, as openly as necessary. If it's, well, I'm not sure that this is, you know, I'm 95% sure of this, or I'm 75% sure of this, I think that people have to be open and honest, and I think that people have to admit when they're making a guess, or when they have presuppositions which might have influenced them. You know, the Courtney Brown issue is actually somewhat different, I think, because that was a remote viewing. That's much more on the religious side of things, at least to me. You know, if you buy into remote viewing, then I think, I mean, that's a different sort of set of positions than a photograph. You claim you have a photograph, then you're claiming that this is sort of scientific, this is empirical, and that has a sort of a much higher threshold of mandated truthiness, to use a Stephen Colbertism. If you're going to claim you have a photograph or something physical, you better be darn sure that it is real. If you're claiming you had a remote viewing, or you've channeled knowledge, or that there's some sort of non-empirical, more metaphysical claim, then you already know some people will take it, some people will leave it. But again, if you're claiming something physical or empirical, I do think there should be a higher threshold of evidence required. Yeah, I do think so. I don't think we can lay the Heaven's Gate suicides at the feet of anyone in particular. But Schrammick's work certainly was part of the story.
Yeah, it's almost like that last little nudge that they're teetering on the edge, and that just gave them enough to use the Hale-Bopp companion as an excuse, or the comet itself.
Yeah.
Regardless of the supposed companion behind it.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, if you have a comment, go ahead, and then I'll ask the last of Bernd State's questions.
Yeah. I was going to say, if there hadn't been the claim of the companion, the Schrammick originated claim, and then the Brown remote viewings and such, would the Heaven's Gate suicide still have occurred? Maybe, and I might even say probably at a later date. No. They really had given up on this earth and their body. They would have found something else, probably. It would have unraveled in a different way. But here, I'm going to hedge my bets, and I'm going to follow my own moral guidance and say I'm not sure. It's entirely possible that in the intervening years, they might have changed their minds and decided that they were supposed to stay on this planet and be spokespeople for the next level, and they might be happily humming along with the, you know, publishing on the internet even today. Maybe you'd be having them as guests. I'm not sure. But I don't know. I really don't know. But
Also, you have to factor in just several days before, you had one of the most, amazing mass sightings in history with the alleged object that flew down from Henderson, Nevada, all the way down the Prescott Valley over Phoenix and then down to Tucson. I happened to be right off the night that occurred, and the L.A. Times, for some reason, was able to find me several days later and get my opinion about the Heaven's Gate suicides. And I was working with a team of plasterers on a large straw bale project, and the head plasterer was watching the news reports of the Heaven's Gate suicides and noticed they were all wearing the same shoes that I had on. And we literally had to convince him to stay because it was too much for him at that point. So yeah, some of this stuff does tend to push people over the edge.
Anyway. You know the story of those shoes? I can tell you the story of those shoes. They bought them on sale. They got a great deal for them. They were, it was 2/3 off or something like that for those black Nike swoosh Just Do It shoes. But a couple of ex-members I was talking to, ex-members, they thought that the Heaven's Gate members probably got the joke. The Just Do It, you know, which was the Nike, motto at the time, a slogan, and the fact they were committing suicide. So the ex-members I talked to said, yeah, they probably thought it was pretty funny, or at least sort of, there was a nice convergence there, between the suicide and the swoosh. It certainly was fodder for the humorists of the world.
That they even could approach such a drastic step with any touch of humor is almost mind-boggling.
It is. But that was what members have told me, or ex-members, what they would call next-level humor. Next-level humor is unearthly. Next-level humor is the recognition that this whole earth is just, as I said, a garden or a classroom, and that that it's okay to laugh at this sort of thing because the body is just basically a bean pod, and the soul transcends it.
You're listening to the Bean Pods on radio right now with Beanpod Ben, Beanpod Gene, and Beanpod Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number 2, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime Hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com.
Hey everyone, I'm having lots of fun with my new Ghost 80% AR-15. This baby shoots like a dream. Hey, thanks Guns80.com. You know, friends ask me all the time why I wanted a Ghost AR-15. That's easy. You see, my buddy Mark kept telling me that I'd better go to Guns80.com to get myself a Ghost AR-15 before they outlawed them. I thought he was just paranoid, so I ignored it. Well, at first. But then I started hearing government and media types talking about making guns illegal, about the president signing on to a UN treaty that could take my gun rights away. You know, it really bugged me, so I dug in, I did the research, and I realized that Mark was right all along. I know now that having an unregistered Ghost AR-15 is the right answer. I'm a proud 80% Ghost AR-15 convert, you should be too. The answer is really simple. Get your Ghost AR-15 at Guns80.com. The big sale is on right now. Go to Guns80.com. That's Guns80.com. Guns80. The number's 80.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I thought Chris was going to say you're in the bean pod.
That too.
Chris, more questions for Ben Zeller?
Sure. Okay, this is more of an observation by Bernstein, but it's a good one, and we've already kind of touched on this, but let's drill down a little bit on it. Whether it's Bo or Peep or the contactees of the 50s and 60s, there's a longstanding history of the UFO and its occupants representing some sort of transcendence for humanity. Why do you think this phenomenon lends itself so well to such human desires?
Well, I can go back to Jung. Carl Jung, his answer was that the UFO was the technological angel for our age. That was actually one of the last writings he did before his passing. I'm blanking on the German title, but UFOs as technological angel. His idea was that, and of course Jung believed in archetypes, the idea that the different religious motifs would present themselves different ways over time. His idea was that the angel for the 20th and now 21st century, we had to be a technological angel because we are now a technological scientific people. So instead of the cosmos, the transcendent order, the divine speaking to us through, you know, beings with multiple wings, you know, speaking out of flaming chariots and such, now they speak to us out of technology, out of flying saucers. That was Jung's idea. And if you're a phenomenologist of religion, that is, if you're a comparativist who wants to look at different claims religious people have made, then that makes a certain amount of sense that the angels for our age would be technological. But in terms of the other ways of looking at it, UFOs evoke wonder. Who hasn't seen Close Encounters of the Third Kind and been impressed with awe and wonder in that final scene, right? The idea that that there's something bigger and better and more transcendent and more impressive than us out in the cosmos. I'll allude to Carl Sagan again, as I said, one of my heroes. It was his last book. It was published posthumously. His Gifford Lectures, The Varieties of Scientific Experience. Sagan talks about how when he looks up at the cosmos, he's struck by a religious awe at how small we are and how big it is up there. And what is a UFO but a messenger of that big cosmos out there to bring to little teeny us in our little backwards planet in the far corner of a little galaxy in a corner of the universe, something bigger and better from out there. And that is, I think, for many people, what UFOs represent, whether you're a believer or not.
Arthur Clarke, I think, said there's two possibilities. One is that there's aliens out there in the universe. The other is that we're totally alone, and each one is equally terrifying.
Yeah, that was Clarke. You know, I think it was also Clarke that said, was it any suitably advanced form of technology is indistinguishable from magic, or right. I would say religion. And then that's part of it, too, is that the idea that for people who are very much believe in the sort of the more religious side of ufology, it's very easy to understand how UFOs and alien technology could come across as religious in some way.
Well, that's a perfect lead into my next set of questions here. These come from Charlie Prime, who just passed the 1,000 post mark at forum.theparacast.com. And his first question is, what is your opinion of the thesis that the similarity in ancient creation myths around the world indicate off-world intervention in human development? Right now, Ancient Aliens, I think, is the second most popular show the History Channel has ever had. They've somehow milked this particular cow for 7 seasons, and it's just immensely popular around the world. What about this connection that these ancient alien or Eric von Däniken devotees are making, trying to connect similarities in what appear to be alien-type motifs that we find in some of the many of the world's great religions?
I think that it speaks to an innate human need to make sense of the world, to make sense of our history, and to understand it. And it also speaks to a 20th, now 21st century desire to have some sort of scientific, verifiable, empirical answer to those questions. You know, I think that, that earlier in human history, there was much more of a comfort with metaphysical or theological or supernatural answers to the questions of where did the earth come from? Where did we come from? Where did all the religions come from? I think that now many more people want technological, empirical, physical, natural answers to those questions. And the idea of ancient astronauts or ancient extraterrestrial visitors as the foundation for the world's religions does both those things. It gives us answers to the questions of what we are, why we have these religions and with the nature of our societies and our cultures, and B, it does it in a way which is in keeping with the 21st century rational, scientific, empirical way of looking at the world. You call it physicalism if you want, call it naturalism. I use the word materialism in my book. And I think you're right to trace it to Eric von Däniken's work, Chariots of the Gods. There were those before him who had similar claims, but I think he really popularized it. And then pop culture, I think, to be honest. Stargate did a lot for it, and then its spin-off TV series you mentioned earlier, SG-1. There were a number of Star Trek episodes, which I think were very influential, which had the same motif. I don't know if you or your listeners remember Who Mourns for Adonis. It was one of the original series episodes from Star Trek. They run across Adonis, the old Apollo, the old Greek god. Right. Turns out he was a space alien, and he and his Olympian space aliens came to visit Earth and enjoyed being Greek gods for a while, but then wandered off. You know, it's if there are extraterrestrials, if extraterrestrials visit our planet, if extraterrestrials have amazing technology, then it is all quite plausible and quite believable.
That creates any kind of possibility.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that entertain that possibility. In fact, embrace it wholeheartedly. I think that goes without saying. I think we're seeing more of a groundswell because of the popularity of these subjects. Obviously, Hollywood wants to make money, maximize their bottom line potential. So they're pumping out these paranormal shows left and right. Most of them, to be honest with you, I wouldn't give the time of day to. But, you know, it does seem to be ever increasing in popularity, these subjects.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And I think that if you look at statistics, I haven't looked at recent surveys, but last I checked, the majority of Americans do believe that UFOs exist and that intelligent life exists out in the cosmos. So this is not actually sort of some sort of niche belief. This is actually very widespread. But you might know the statistics better than I do.
It depends on which poll. It's actually, in some sense, it's been decreasing somewhat over the years based on a National Geographic poll that came out about 3 years ago.
I remember that one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that less and less people believe that UFOs are here. But as you pointed out, more and more people, because of the discovery of exoplanets out there, more and more people and scientists are now becoming more and more convinced that there is intelligent life out in the universe, or there better be.
My personal view is it's an incredible act of hubris to think that we are the only intelligent species in a nearly infinite universe with unmeasurable numbers of planets out there, many of which are more ancient than ours. To claim that we are the only species of life or the only species of intelligent life in the entire universe, it's almost medieval to me. But I recognize that people believe it, and I it's not my place as a scholar to judge them. My personal view is that it is an act of incredible hubris, though, to claim that we are all there is in a universe which is uncountable.
This announcement will be uncountable, so we have to begin it. We have Ben Zeller joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Time waits for no one. That's why you should hurry to not miss the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year case-lot sale. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663 to receive 20 to 25% off Mountain House freeze-dried foods. Mountain House, the gold standard in long-term storage products, include real freeze-dried meats, entrees, eggs, fruits, and vegetables. Yes, 20 to 25% off now. Also receive 30% off other selected Mountain House foods and receive 30% off selected Packaway brand dehydrated foods. Just call 866-404-3663 and ask for the Freeze Dry Guy. Plus, long-range patrol ration eggs and ham at superb discounts. But these are extremely hard to find and nearly gone, so call today. Ask about our LRP ice cream bars, too. Some items limited to stock on hand. And remember, the Freeze Dry Guy pays for shipping to your door within the lower 48 states. Order now. Don't miss out on the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year case-lot sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
You pick up the receiver with your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead. You finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care. Chiropractic done right.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
Two more segments in the Paracast. Benjamin Zeller is our guest, author of Heaven's Gate. We're exploring this mass suicide of people involved in this particular movement and the consequences, I guess, thereof. What have we learned? And we have a few more questions from listeners we'll get to in a moment. But, Ben Zeller, what have we learned from this episode? Is there anything anyone could do to prevent some other group of individuals who get sucked up into a movement deciding to commit suicide?
Most of these groups we don't know about until it's too late. This is one of the issues. Now, as both of you mentioned, you had encountered members of this group earlier. As I mentioned, I had encountered them on the internet before the suicides. But did any of us think it was inevitably going to lead towards suicide? No, I don't think so. You know, it's that fine line. If there is a group which you know is suicidal and you know is going to engage in acts of violence, it's certainly if you thought they were going to engage in acts of violence outwardly, if they were going to engage in terrorism or something like that, obviously most people would choose to go to the authorities. But as I mentioned earlier, there's this wrinkle, which is that members of Heaven's Gate were intense conspiratorialists. They intensely believed there was a conspiracy against them and against all believers, and the government was not to be trusted. Until the government shows itself as trustable to the majority of people, and there, I mean, I think the majority of Americans don't trust their government, it would be difficult to imagine ex-members or observers of a group like Heaven's Gate being willing to go to the authorities and say, hey, here's a group I think should be on someone's radar. I think maybe the best thing to do would just be to talk about it at, you know, among other ufologists, others in the paranormal community, to talk to scholars such as myself who study this group, groups like these, to get it on our radar. And then there's the, in terms of can we stop it? I don't know if we could ever stop groups like this.
Now, the government has to be also gun shy after Waco, Texas, about getting involved in cults and what they're doing. So would that be a reason why the government might still be gun shy about getting involved in a movement like this and the possible consequences?
I would assume so. And then, you know, I say the government as if it's something out there, but it really is us. I mean, we elect it, we choose. And I've had some very nice interactions with members of the FBI about just, you know, these topics. I don't think they're bad guys. I don't think that the government is out to infringe on the religious liberties of UFO cultists and groups like this. I think they are quite respectful. I think they're also, as you said, quite gun-shy. And ultimately, it is an issue of civil liberties as well. If a group chooses to live monastically and chooses to believe in the existence of space aliens and in visitations, they weren't breaking the law. They weren't breaking the law until they committed the suicides. They were law-abiding citizens. How would the FBI, how would the local sheriff even be able to stop them? Conspiracy to commit suicide, I suppose. I don't know if that's even on the book somewhere.
Well, certainly having psychologists and psychiatrists talk to these people and see if they can be dissuaded. And I guess that would be almost all speculation, which is if people knew what they were going to do, and you tried to engage in some kind of intervention, would you have made it worse?
I think so. I think you would have played into their fears. That's exactly, it's the catch-22. If it were one person, if it were, you know, an academic, a ufologist, a reporter who said, hey, are you guys sure about this? I want to talk to you about it. That's one thing. But if it were seen as a government effort, if it was, you know, psychologists, psychiatrists, social workers coming in from outside, it would play into their fears of, here come the Luciferian agents to get us. I don't think I mentioned earlier, they were avid X-File watchers as well. They really bought into the X-File style of government conspiracy. Again, they believed that science fiction often portrayed truths, and they really did believe there was an elaborate conspiracy against them and other believers, and that there were all these different shades of conspiracies working against them. And anything sort of large scale, it would have played into their fears. And I don't know. As I said, they were pacifists, but I don't know how it would have ended. Not well.
I just wonder from what you're saying whether there isn't another movement of this sort somewhere out there that might be plotting a similar move, and there's no way to do anything about it.
Yeah, I suspect there might be. If any of your listeners know one, have them drop me an email.
Yeah, really. I am so happy that I resisted their very, very, I mean, forceful attempts to try to get me to set up a talk or a meeting in my little town, in Crestone, Colorado. And there was just something about the whole group other than the fact that they were members of a very questionable UFO cult in my mind. I never did get a sense of anything nefarious, but man, I'm just so happy that I did not take them up on their, they were relentless and keep sending me stuff, trying to convince me that they were okay. And it was just something about them that just, I mean, that was the last thing I would ever do, is get them into my little town. This leads us to some other questions that we have at forum.theparacast.com. The appropriately named Beyond the Stargate has a couple of questions for you. And the first one is, you know, we did talk about the sexuality angle and aspect of the cult, but they understand that men in the group, along with Applewhite, underwent voluntary castration. Is this true?
That is correct. Yes. So the reason they abstain from sexuality is they wanted to become as close as they could to the next level aliens. They had to overcome, they had to transcend their human condition. One of the names they used for the group was Total Overcomers Anonymous. They were overcoming their human bodies. Human individual metamorphosis was also a name they used. So they had to overcome the human condition. Their image of the next level aliens was very much akin to what your viewers or listeners probably know as the Greys. You know, it was sort of the very peaceful looking, almost childlike a space alien, you know, with the bald head, with sort of the big eyes, very small mouth, if a mouth at all, and very gender neutral in body.
Yeah, no genitalia.
Yeah, absolutely none. And they had pictures of these gray aliens up around where they in the homes they lived in. I have a picture of a scan of one of their pictures in my book. It's also easily found up on their website. But so they believed that next level aliens were non-mammalian. They were non-gendered. They didn't eat. They didn't talk. They communicated telepathically. They consumed sunlight, basically. They were perfected. They were angelic in that way. And that's what people had to be if we wanted to transcend humanity and become more like them. So that was why they avoided sex. Now, why did they get castrated or neutered? Because it was difficult to do so. It's difficult to fight those natural bodily urges. There are different stories from different ex-members and members about who did it first and whose idea it was. But basically the eventual decision was that if members of the group wanted to take that step of becoming castrated, they could do it. Now, here's what's so interesting to me. That happened the same time as they were discussing suicide. If you are thinking about committing suicide, why would you want to go and get castrated too? Yeah, that's what makes me think they thought the whole plan might change at the moment. You know, because it's unfathomable. Well, both, let me be clear. Both of those procedures are unfathomable to me. But if you're considering one, why you would consider the other one?
Yeah, why go out and buy a chafing dish or have a filling filled?
You got it. Well, I mean, that's because I think they thought at any moment T from the next level might contact them and say, no, the plan has changed. You're going to stay a little longer, wait for the next comet. There's more to do, or we're going to pick you up in bodily form. They really thought the whole thing could change at any moment. And I think that's why they were willing to really live in those two ways. I'll also say, though, and some social psychologists have pointed out, that keeping members of a movement on their toes is one way of retaining leadership. For Applewhite to say, well, the plan may change at any moment, that's one way that he could retain sort of his control over the movement. I'm cautious to buy into those sort of over-psychologized interpretations, but there's a certain truth to that as well.
We're going to split for our final segment. I want to remind you, listeners, that we have our PowerCast Plus service for you. Go to plus.thepowercast.com, plus.thepowercast.com. And you get yourself an ad-free version of the PowerCast with a higher resolution, better quality audio, the After the PowerCast podcast, and a lot of stuff that's coming along in 2015, the PowerCast Plus. Our guest this week, with one more segment coming, is Dr. Benjamin Zeller. The book is Heaven's Gate, America's UFO Religion. What have we learned from this episode, folks? With Gene and Chris, you're in
the PowerCast.
UnseenNow.com, proud sponsor of GCN. UnseenNow's unparalleled encryption tools keep your communications secure. GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Alex Jones here. For the last 2 years, I've been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to design a nutraceutical formulation that has truly life-changing health benefits. So many other formulations out there contain toxic ingredients, synthetic additives, and even GMOs. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected tested hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure ancient defense for you and your family. Visit InfoWarsLife.com or call 1-888-253-3139. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, Benjamin Zeller is author of Heaven's Gate. Chris, any more questions before we do our sum-ups?
There are. You know, we didn't have that much time to put up a thread, but boy, I'll tell you, people are very intrigued by this subject. I think you've done an excellent job, Ben, of covering some of the sociological ramifications, looking at this, really dissecting it. One thing that comes through fairly clear in the book and from my own personal experience with meeting these folks is these people were educated and highly intelligent. And Dave M., one of our forum posters, is really interested in your opinion. He says, do you believe that highly intelligent people are most often the gullible ones when it comes to something like alien UFOs coming to save members from impending doom?
I think that intelligent, educated people are more likely to accept a message which claims to be technological or material or scientific than they are to accept a claim which strikes the average person as supernatural or pre-modern. That is to say, if a group went to a educated, intelligent person today in the 21st century or back in the 1970s, 80s, 90s when Heaven's Gate began and said, well, Jesus walked up to me and he was walking on water and turning water into wine. And I think that your average intelligent person is going to say, get out of here. That's even if you're a Christian believer, most Christian believers think that maybe 2,000 years ago, but not today. Whereas I think if the claim sounds or comes off as somehow modern, technological, scientific, then I think there's a certain openness to it. And I think that's part of the key to understanding the success of Heaven's Gate and other UFO groups and other sort of technological, scientifically oriented new religions, is that they both have the appeal of traditional religions offering chances of transcendence, of ultimate truth, of life after death, but they also package themselves and come across as very technological, very modern, very scientific, very reasonable. And that is, I think, what's very appealing to educated, intelligent 20th or 21st century people.
It's sometimes the smartest people in the bunch are the ones that tend to have the blind spots, I guess. So, boy, here's another question from Charlie Prime, which is a good one. You know, you are a scholarly person who's interested in comparative religions, and he's wondering what your opinion of the thesis that Christianity was designed by the Roman historian Josephus as a Flavian weaponized anthropology project to subvert rebellions in Judea. Good question.
I think that radical claims require radical evidence, and I'm not sure how you'd be able to prove that. Is there a chance such a thing were true? Certainly. We actually don't know that much about history, to be honest, particularly history from 2,000 years ago. Josephus does mention Christianity, does talk about Christianity. Did he invent it? I think it would be hard using archaeology to prove that point. I'm not an ancient historian, but my understanding of the archaeological record is that it's pretty clear that Christianity developed and grew rather organically out of the Galilee and out of Judea and not out of Rome. You know, that it spread up through Asia Minor, then is through Turkey, and then across the channel and into Greece and Rome. So it'd be hard to imagine that it began as a pet project off in Rome. But as I said, I'm not an ancient historian, and I like to think that I and other academics are led by the evidence. And if one could marshal enough evidence to support that perspective, then one could convince me of it, I suppose. I just think it's a radical claim. It would be pretty hard to find enough support for it. The burden of proof is on the individual offering such a radical new interpretation.
Right. Good point. And that goes for a lot of the ancient astronaut believers, too, as well. There's so many of these programs use the caveat. So can we assume, or could it be that, or could this maybe could this have happened? And they always kind of suggest things, but with just enough languaging to make it into a hypothetical. But yet the question and then the ensuing information presents it as almost real, as fact. And I think some people who can't see that tend to be indoctrinated by the theorizing, by the entertainment factor, and take it as reality. And there's a lot of people, a lot of Paracast listeners and a lot of posters on the Paracast take exception to that approach. And for good reason. I think highly intelligent people are one thing, but there's a lot of people out there that are very gullible and don't really take the time to listen to how certain information is being presented. And that's unfortunate and leads to, I think, fuzzy logic and lack of real, I don't know, just critical thinking, I guess, would be the only term that really makes sense. And so what do you think of this trend that we have of the ancient alien believers and this whole UFO thing?
Say that again, please.
What is your thinking about the popularity of this whole subject of UFOs and the paranormal? It's really being pumped at us by the media and by Hollywood. Where do you see it going?
I think it's going to keep going. I don't see an end to it. I think it is, for our era and our time, our myth. I don't mean myth in the sense of something which is false. I mean myth in the sense of a powerful story with powerful sets of meanings and of a story which has to be believable. You know, I think that for modern technological people today, many of the ancient myths are no longer believable. Certainly, I mean, there's many Christians, and there's many people who accept sort of the classic supernaturalist claims of Christianity. But I'm thinking, because I'm a professor, I am a teacher, I work with 18 to 22 year olds. They are a people who very much want sort of modern mythologies to believe in. And one thing that ancient astronauts and ufology and UFOs has going for it is it is very modern. It doesn't require that you accept claims of miracles, claims of supernaturalism. Rather, it says that you have to accept only the sort of material technological claims that we are all used to. The idea that radio waves can exist, that microwaves can exist, that one can manipulate matter through technology. We're all used to that. You know, we have cell phones and microwave ovens. This is not magic to us. So the idea of a mythology built on that sort of ideas on microwaves and radio waves.
Incorporate science.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's why it's believable and that's why it's powerful. There are people who I think do still find supernaturalism very convincing, particularly when it's supernaturalism from 2,000 years ago. I don't think Christianity is going to go anywhere. I think it's here to stay as well. But I think that there's also an interest in something which can speak to modern people in a very modern way. And I think that scientifically oriented religions and scientifically oriented spiritual traditions fill that niche.
Yeah, like Scientology would be the classic example.
Scientology, a lot of New Age traditions claim to be scientific. A lot of the way that yoga and Eastern traditions are packaged and offered to Western consumers is that they're scientific. You know, transcendental meditation claimed that it was scientific. Its promoters still do. Yoga practitioners claim they're engaged in science. There's sort of the rhetoric of science, the idea that what people are doing is scientific and modern and technological. That, I think, is what is so powerful today.
They're using science maybe as a dodge for commercial reasons, but that's another discussion, and we can't wrap it up with that today. Benjamin Zeller, can you tell our listeners where they can check out more of the stuff you do?
Absolutely. Well, certainly they can pick up the book. It's Heaven's Gate, America's UFO Religion, is published by New York University Press. You can find it pretty easily on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any sort of source like that. You're also welcome to drop me an email. You can find me pretty easily online. My webpage is www.nrms.net. NRMS is short for New Religious Movements. So it's www.nrms.net is my website.
And we'll have a link to that, thepowercast.com, so you can just use one click to get there. We have a presence on Twitter where we're known as The Powercast. We are The Powercast on Twitter. On Facebook, look for The Powercast Fan Club. You'll find two. There's no way to combine them into one, I'm told, unless we eliminate one, which we're not about to do, but there won't be three Powercast Fan Clubs unless somebody else decides to set one up. We also have The Powercast Plus, our premium service. You can get an ad-free version of the Powercast with a higher quality audio, the After the Powercast podcast exclusive to Powercast Plus members, and more stuff coming in 2015. Go to plus.thepowercast.com, plus.thepowercast.com. And when you go to thepowercast.com, you can sign up for our free newsletter, get a copy of the ebook version of Secrets of the Mysterious Valley by our own Chris O'Brien. Chris O'Brien's site is ourstrangeplanet.com. You can buy his books there and get them autographed, the print versions, but not the digital versions. That's how it works. Ben Zeller, thanks for joining us on the Powercast.
Thank you very much for having me.
The Powercast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Powercast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
How many good people procrastinate? When was the last time you updated your last will and testament, your living will, and your health care power of attorney? If you could get these documents included with your Legal Shield membership for no additional charge, wouldn't it just make sense to have the peace of mind of owning a Legal Shield membership? Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.